God bless you. Thanks for coming in today.
Get this going here.
As we said, this is no accident that you're in here today. The good Lord brought your feet in here, your body, for a reason. He knows what it is. It's all we have to know. It's just He's large and in charge and in control, but it's no accident you're here. So thank you for coming in today. I have a beautiful sermon prepared. It's from the Word of God, but as always, He tailors it to every group and every need. So there are going to be some things in here that He will lead, and I believe in that as you bring the message, that you don't just read off a piece of paper, you have an outline, but God directs and decides what is said. So as I speak here today, more than likely somebody will say, that was talking right to me, because that's how the Spirit works. It's not about us, it's about, the reason why we're here is to praise and worship Jesus and God, and that's what it's all about. So as we begin, what we're talking about today is the Word of God, the Word. So on screen, you see, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that was John 1:1. I don't know if you have the first John 1:1. There you go. Brad's on it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. They touched the Word in flesh. What a privilege. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. They both are talking about the Word. In the first part, he is talking about the very beginning, before the earth was even created, the Word was with God. The Word was God and was with God. Here he's talking about after he had come, and this is after the Christmas account. Look at it, snow out there. I know some of you might not be too happy about that, but I love the snow. But anyway, this is after the Christmas thing, and he had gone and grown up. There's a little gap in the years, but he'd gone and grown up and had started his ministry, and they got to see him and touch the Word in flesh. What a privilege. So we're talking about the Word today. Let's take it to a personal level for a second about you and me. There may come a time in life, this is what I was told. My dad dropped a few pearls of wisdom on me in my years, besides maybe a few other things that he influenced me with. But one of his little pearls of wisdom, as he told me, son, there may come a time in life when all you have is your word. You may not have a penny in your pocket, may not have a roof over your head. And he said that's going to be very important, because if your yes has been yes and your no has been no, people will know you're a man of your word. And if you need something, you tell them, if you would help me with this, I will help you with that. They will provide for you, help you, because you need to keep your name clean and your word good. There may come a time, and I hope that doesn't happen to any of us, where all you have is your word. There have been times in legal troubles where all they have is their word. Somebody else has made a claim. All they have is their word. So it's important to keep your word clean, your name clean, and let your yes be yes and your no be no. So with that being said, I had a couple examples of men keeping their word. First one was a gentleman in Polo who needed some brickwork done at his house. He was not a layer of bricks by any fashion, and he knew he would end up with something that looked quite unattractive on the front of his house if he attempted it, but he didn't have the monies that it took. Again, he had his word, but he didn't have the monies that it took to get this taken care of, and it needed to be taken care of. Winter was coming. So, from what I understand, this man talked to another man who does this, and said, look, if you will do this for me, I will do the electrical work. He knew he was doing some other stuff at his house. I understand electricity. I can lay the wire. I can hook everything up, get it running. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. First, the other guy said, sure. He came in, laid all the bricks, made it look nice, because that's what he does. We are gifted in different areas. Made it look sharp, made it look nice. Well, it came time for the other man to do the electrical work. Pardon me, spitting here. To do the electrical work, and everything in his life was going crazy at the moment. He had, and it's not a laughing matter, but he had a lot going on at the moment with family that was ill. He needed to get his mom into a home. He was doing all kinds of things. And that's the way life is. It doesn't always run smooth. But when it comes time to keep your word, if you just use excuses, I don't know, I'm not trying to come down on you, but Jay's over there nodding his head. He knows this. If you just use excuses, all of a sudden your word just goes down the tubes. It's important, even if it's inconvenient, to keep your word. So let's look at Christ. The other example I had was MacArthur, where he was in the Philippines. and it was in World War II. There were about 90,000 American troops, the Filipino troops in there. And Japanese forces were coming, but the powers that be, Mr. Roosevelt, President Roosevelt said, I think it was FDR, said, we need you elsewhere, get out of there. And I'm paraphrasing just for the sake of time. Well, he was very upset. He didn't want to leave because he knew the Japanese attack was imminent. He knew they needed strong leadership, and he felt he was the man. That's where he was gifted. But they pulled him out of there. He and his family narrowly escaped, went through a lot of trouble to get free and away. Well, he was very upset about it and got very public and said, if you remember, I shall return. Or like a Terminator says, I'll be back. He said he was going to be back. And what happened was he was put in charge of forces over in New Guinea. He fought with a ragtag team because the other people that were left didn't have food, supplies, what they needed, and he knew this. And he told them, I have not forsaken you. I will be back. So he fought all kinds of battles through, and you can study that in history, very strategically, did a great job with the ragtag team. He was undersupplied and under everything else. But his intent was to get back to the Philippines. So he was just marching across areas and working his way. He finally got to where he could go to the Philippines and take care of that again, take care of those people. He needed, was General Nimitz, his fleet, the naval fleet to help, but he needed the Joint Chiefs of Staff to okay it. So he went in and presented his case for the Philippines, and long story short, they finally went with that. Well, he came back. He liberated the forces, and he said it. When he stepped onto the sand, when he stepped back up, he said, I told you I'd be back. So your word is very important. Just a couple of quick examples. And he was able to do that then. Many people had perished between there, and he felt bad about that, obviously. But he was back. He kept his word. So as we look at Jesus, he kept his word. He is a shining example of keeping your word. Whenever he prophesied or said anything, it always, without exception, came to pass. He said, I'm going to be crucified, but in 3 days I will rise again, and I will come again. Now, some people will make a big deal out of like Nostradamus and other people who supposedly, I'm not going to get into all that, who made predictions and they came to pass, but those are always really open to interpretation. And this stuff, it's not open to, I mean, it's so cut and dry. When he said something before the cock crows 3 times, remember, you're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows. Anyway, I mean, there was no interpretation. There was no ifs, ands, or buts. It happened. So Jesus keeps his word, and Jesus is the word in flesh. He is the author of truth. All truth and integrity and reality come from him. They are rooted in him, and they come from him. Now, John says it this way as he quotes Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He made no bones about it. It's not open to any kind of, I mean, I don't know how you could interpret that any other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That doesn't mean, and I've had friends that say this, God forbid, that they have a plan of their own, or they have an understanding with God. It doesn't work that way. It's laid out right there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to interpret that. So if you need to talk about that more, approach John, Jeanette, and the staff here and ask questions about it. But there's no other way to interpret that. That is it. Just flat line right there. So let's look at this thing called truth. Truth, as it says, will set you free. Honesty is the best policy. We have all kinds of little sayings. They're all rooted in Jesus. The truth. Jesus is the truth embodied. In him are no lies. Satan is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. He can't tell the truth if he tried. He is so twisted. You have two absolute polarities there. We choose to follow Christ instead of the world because Satan is the small r, the ruler of the world. He is active out there, him and his minions. We choose to follow Christ, the other polarity. So, and it says he is the life. Jesus was at the beginning. He's the one that breathed life, as it says, into the nostrils of the men, into the man. He is life, spoke things into existence. He was involved. All things were created through him. So I know that's hard to wrap your brain around when we talk about God and Jesus and a lot of this Trinity stuff, but he is life. In him, there isn't death. Now, he can put you away at the end of judgment, which is the death of the Spirit, but in him is life. He is life. And Jesus is the light. It's not on there, the way, the truth, and life, but Jesus is light. In him, there is no darkness. Now, what happens if you walk into a dark room, provided everything works like it's supposed to? We have fought with that, especially in other facilities with switches that didn't work and things. But if you walk into a dark room and flip on that light switch, what happens? The darkness is gone. It can't hang around when there's light. It completely and immediately is dispelled. It's removed. It's the same thing with Christ. You can't mix the two. There's no darkness in Christ. He's all light. It's like trying to take Comet Cleanser and mixing it with oatmeal. I've used this example before. It's completely unedible. It's no good together. The two don't belong together. You wouldn't do it. I mean, you just wouldn't, unless you're trying to waste some good oatmeal. But the truth, yeah, look at the chubby guy talking about oatmeal. But the truth is, the two cannot be together, the same with darkness and light. Jesus is light. In him, there is no darkness. If you're having trouble, if you need him on the scene, as soon as you bring him into your situation or the trouble, darkness has to flee. There is no other possibility. It's just gone. Now, it is hard for us to get our brains around the fact of the Word as Creator. I just mentioned that, the Trinity. And it's okay in your human form to not understand everything. If you took a little bitty one and put them over to an outlet and just watched as I wouldn't recommend this. But if they shocked themselves, to have them to try to explain electricity would just, I mean, how could they explain it? The flow of electrons and all that other stuff. They just couldn't do it. It's the same thing as us trying to explain a lot of the things of divinity. It's just so hard to completely explain. But at some point, your faith, hope, and love, your faith becomes a real part of you. And you have to, by faith, just walk. You don't have to understand it all. God is bigger than any question, but you don't have to understand it all. So it is hard to wrap our brains around. And of course, when Moses was talking to God in Exodus 3, 13, 14, Moses, when he was sent, there you go, he knew the Israelites would say to him, "Hey, who sent you to help us out of here? Who sent you?" And of course, God said, "I am. I am that I am. I am who I am sent you." So that's where we get the great I am. So God doesn't mix words. His words are truth. They're direct. They're life. Everything positive that you need. I am who I am has sent you. So John draws our attention to the Old Testament when he talks about Moses at the burning bush. And again, who shall I tell the people who sent me? The important thing to take from here is we believe that this is the inspired Word of God. I have two of them up here. Had young men bring them to me. A couple of different versions. But this is the inspired Word of God. It is truth. In it there are no lies. No discrepancies. We can get into all that if you really feel the need. But it is the inspired Word of God. It has a life and power of its own. It's the same truth as it was 2,000 years ago, or even at the beginning, as it is now. And what you believe in is very important, because I tell you this, just because you believe something doesn't make it true. I'll let that sit for a second. Now, if you believe in this, this is truth. So it does make it true. This is truth right here. But other things, just because you believe them doesn't make it true. How many people have heard stories of somebody nibbling down some good old turkey that wasn't taken care of after Thanksgiving and getting sick? They thought that the food was good. They believed it was good. But yet they came down with food poisoning. So, and the same thing with a venomous snake. God bless you if you're ever struck, but poison kills. You can believe things that if you drink a poison or do something, it won't kill you, but it very well can. You can plant a garden and walk away and believe that the weeds aren't going to take over your garden. You can say it as the weeds are eating your garden up, as they're out there just choking everything. They're going to take over your garden. You didn't take action, get out there and take care of it. So what you believe isn't necessarily true. So be careful what you're hooking your wagon to, what your belief system is. This is truth. If you hook your wagon to this, you will go far. This will pull you through life's problems, pull you through things that are impossible to get through otherwise, the muck and mire that's out there. But just because you believe something, like they thought the earth was flat, scientists are always believing they got stuff figured out. Not that I'm going to nitpick. Just the snow today, they couldn't predict. It changed like every hour or two, the how much snow we were going to get, what was going on. And it's changing even as we're talking in here. You can go check the forecast, and more than likely we'd be different. What you believe in isn't necessarily the truth, unless, here's your exception, divinity. If you believe in this, you will go far. We have words that create reality that are real in here. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was, I am. These are all truths, something you can hook your wagon to. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. Those are all things that you could take to any bank of reality and truth. Those right there, there is no law against it. Those are real. So Jesus not only created reality as a great I am, as our creator, he flung the stars and planets into place, but Jesus also created time for sinners that felt they didn't have any or that they were left behind. To the woman at the well, whose life wasn't going as she thought it should, it had many people, because she remembers, said, you don't have a husband. You're getting into that story. That different men, but none of them are your husband. And he told her, whoever drinks from this water I give will never thirst again. He stopped for a moment. He was hungry, and the other disciples took off to go get some food. But remember, he said, I have food that you do not have. He was taking time out of his physiology to help this lady. To the woman who had lived a sinful life, he allowed her to wash his feet with her tears and forgave her sins and then bid her to go in peace. He took time. He took time to heal the guard when he was being captured, and Peter, in his zeal, chopped the man's ear off. He stopped everything, took the time, literally, it's kind of crazy, pick up the ear, stick it back on. I mean, it's recorded. I believe the Bible, so this happened. I can't believe just parts and little spots that I want to believe in. The whole thing is true. So he reattached the man's ear. It was cut off. I don't have to understand how he did it, just that he did it. He took time. He took time to help Peter after he fell and was just beating himself up. The cancer was starting to eat him inside because he had betrayed God, betrayed Jesus. And three times he asked him, remember, do you love me? Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Take care of them. So not only did he take time, it says also that he split time. He took impossibilities and made them possible. One of the biggest areas where he split time was when he said, it is finished. You went from before Christ to the after death. You know, this one way how people try to discern that. But the truth was, he fulfilled everything at the cross. When he said, it is finished, his good works were done. He split time right there. That is the middle of the Bible right there. Literally, when it comes to the Old Testament, coming up and meeting the New Testament, they talk about Christ and everything in his earthly ministry, but right there at the cross, that split time. And as some writers have said, his arms are stretched out forever into the past and forever into the future. Right in the middle was that cross. It split time. He also, as I said, created choices that weren't even available. the Pharisees came up and tried to nail him to the wall already. They would say, like the taxes. Well, what do you say about taxes, Jesus? And they're trying to catch him, remember? If he said, give your taxes, the Jews who were in bondage would be very angry. And then that could start basically a revolution against him, a dissension. So he said, give the taxes, that would cause that. If he said, don't give your taxes, of course, a lot of Jews would like that because they were under bondage and didn't want to give their taxes to Caesar. But the problem with that is the ruling state would be upset with them. He would be a traitor or found guilty of breaking Caesar's laws and would be held accountable for that. So what they had was an A-B choice. Well, Christ created C right on the spot. Remember, he said, whose inscription is on it? And they said, Caesar. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So they gave him an A-B. They thought they had him because there's no way he could win. It was A-B. Give the taxes or don't give the taxes. We got you. Oh, man, he's ours. We're so smart. He came up with C right on the spot because he is the creator. He's above all this stuff. Our thinking is foolishness compared to his. The good book says that. Compared to the good Lord's, we're like that kid at the outlet. Can't explain any of it. Don't understand it. It's real. It happened. But it's real. We don't understand it. It's the same thing with a lot of this stuff. They approached him with an A and B, and he said, I don't think so. Here's C. And they were just like stupefied. They were dumbfounded. He left every time they tried to trap him, they left speechless. Like, who is this guy? But unfortunately, they weren't accepting him as the Messiah, as who he was. So they just kept coming up and trying to do this. So Jesus was able to come up with C right on the spot. And of course, Jesus has words that stopped time. Time completely stopped. We've had things in our lives that have done similar things that stopped time. Jesus, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the true vine. For those that were chained by sin, for those that caught in judgment, and for the disciples hanging on his every word, they must have just stopped and said, what? For a moment, just stopped time. They had to ponder and think about this. Things in my life that have stopped time as I knew it. The day I was saved, the day I became born again. Right there, boom. Time as I knew it stopped. It was the dawn of a new decade. I was walking around on cloud nine, as they say. Little did I know, all of my bad habits and everything were going to fight with this new line of thought, this new belief, this right here. My baggage, everything was going to fight with this. Satan was going to use every trick he could. He's a big bully. He uses his God-given abilities to wreak havoc and to destroy. No different. It's on a grander scale, but it's no different than a very large man being a big bully to people and pushing them around. It's using your God-given talents and abilities in a horrid way that it's not meant to be. That is literally what he's doing. He has God-given talent and abilities, using them completely wrong. Completely. He's just a big bully. So anyway, and you know who's bigger than the bully? Right in here again. So this is it. That's the answer. And I will always come back to this. And if you ever have a question about this, it's not Bill up here talking. I'm not billing it up. I'm telling you what the judge says. If you ever have any questions, come to me. Come to John. We'll talk and look it up. We'll show you right where everything is. And you can not take my word for it. Look it up on your own. But this stuff, it comes right out of here. I'm not going to build this up because I will mess it up. Believe me, I really will. So this comes right out of here. Another day that stopped time was my wedding, my beautiful bride. Since I'm up here, she gets to be a little bit of a subject of conversation for a second. I'm sure she loves it. My beautiful bride, Tracy. Time for me stopped. It was no longer just about me running around with my buddies, doing this, that. The world can have some negative terms for it called ball and chain, stuff like that. That's very negative. The truth was, I was completed. I had somebody, a partner, who would walk through life with me, lift me up, help me, and keep track, let me know when I'm driving crazy. A lot of things, too. But the truth was, time stopped as I knew it. I was responsible to her and for her, sacrificing myself. A lot of my guy wants and needs. Instantly, it became about the two of us and not me. Another day, the stop time when my kids were born, each one. As soon as your child, I mean, you know you're going to have a baby and you see the change happening to your wife. And ladies, God bless you. If it were left up to us guys to have the kids, it wouldn't get done. Just saying. So you ladies, God bless you. But you have the babies. And but as soon as that baby's born, I mean, did you realize, again, how responsible you are for someone else? I immediately, the words came out of my mouth were, I need to make more money. So I went off to make more money. So not that it's all about cash. It isn't. But it changes your life. Time stops as you know it right there. And Christ does this. He's the author and creator of everything good. So if you have a good, decent, holy, healthy, responsible thought, the origination, you have to give Christ the credit. So what will we do with this word? This word right here. It says the word was God. The word was with God, and the word was God. So what will we do with this word? How you respond to the life that Jesus has offered to you? When you accept Jesus as your Savior, once again, you die to self. Everything that we've talked about now has been just a little glimmer of a life with Jesus. When I got married to my beautiful bride, it was the same as when I accepted Christ. I just didn't think about me anymore. I'm part of something bigger, the body of Christ. My actions affect all of you guys. Your actions affect me. I watch you, you watch me. We learn off of each other. We sharpen each other. Dick getting in here every day like he did in his wheelchair and Ella getting him in here showed me the importance of getting in here, even through adversity. I mean, each one of us in our own ways, we watch each other and we learn. I watch even the young people. I learn off of you. I learn off of everything. But that's because God put that want to learn in me. It's not because I'm so great by any means, but he put the desire in me, and I desire to learn. My wife will ask me why I can't sleep many times. I'm up at 3 a.m. I just got back in the book, and I'm just reading again, just reading. And she'll say, is something wrong? No. I just, you know, was laying there, and I was thinking. I just rolled over and opened up the Word, just started. I'm very hungry because I have built up my life, and by that I mean messed it up. I have meat it up badly enough. And I need to get me out of it and keep moving forward. I was called to do something like this in the past. I ran from it like Jonah for a little bit of personal testimony. That didn't go well at all. I can tell you right now, if God's calling you to do something, don't run. That'll mess you up. Messes everything up. So now I'm finally stepping in line saying, okay, not my will but yours. I don't know how this is going to turn out. You know, you can even be afraid a little bit. But you just step out in faith, and he has blessed everything. Everything is moving forward, but it's because I stopped being like Jonah and running, but I got swallowed by the world. So this is important stuff. What will you do with the word? Now, we, again, value someone's word. I mentioned earlier some examples about the word. We place value in word. The more trustworthy, the more respectable and truthful a person has been in the past, usually the more weight and power and effect their word has. So if they've been pretty trustworthy, their word has big effect. If they say they're going to do something, you pretty much take it to the bank, they're going to do it. Now, if they've been pretty wishy-washy, they say they're going to do something, you know, you try to give them the benefit of the doubt. You have faith, hope, and love in there as a good, God-giving, caring Christian. But you just really wonder. But more truthful, again, a person's been, the more weight it carries. We read the Bible. We read this word. These are the thoughts and words of the God Most High. You cannot get any more power and truth and effect. And anything else, anything that any of us say, cannot have more power, life, and effect than this. These, because our God is so all-powerful, these have a life and power of their own. These are truly, and it doesn't breathe like we think of breathing for life, but it does have a life of its own. Now, I'm not trying to get all do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, but it's the truth. And again, the truth will set you free. The more you know, I just don't want you to be ignorant of things. The more you know, the better decisions you can make. This stuff is the word of the Most High. Again, they're the thoughts and words of God, and they have a life and power of their own. Now, when we read the word of God, when you flip a book open, and I have a couple of them up here from the young people that were bringing them to me, your eyes see symbols, and you interpret it and comprehend it, and you believe you're just reading the word of God, which you are to a degree. But I tell you this, as you read this, it is reading you, because again, it is alive. And not in a sense that you understand, but we don't have to understand it. Just have faith and know. This is alive. It's reading you. As you read it, you think, you know, because we kind of get full of ourselves, I'm reading the word. Really, as you read it, it's reading you. It's probing deeper than anything else ever could. It's cutting further, cleaner, and more completely than any knife ever could, any physical thing. This goes all the way down to the spirit, things that you can't touch. It reads us, it weighs us. It reveals our areas of inadequacy, where we've been weighed and been found wanting, where we've come up short. And as it Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all done it. This reads you. But yet, the word fills us with hope when we don't have any, as you read it. It's alive, it bolsters you, it empowers you. It fills us with love when we've been crushed or we've been felt abandoned by somebody. And it can bolster our faith, because in our humanity and our fleshy weakness, at times we can feel vulnerable and start to doubt a little bit. It bolsters our faith. This word is active, it's alive, and it has the power of life, and it can truly tear down strongholds. I guarantee you that. It has done it in my life. Now, John, I like this example he put in here. When he was baptized, his pastor gave him a little Bible. Inside the front cover of it, when he opened it up, it said, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. What a big statement. That's a big statement. This book right here, either one of these or any of them that you have around, even an app on your phone, it'll keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from that app, that book, the truth and the word of God. Because again, Satan doesn't want you to get into that, to know that. He wants to mess with your testimony. He wants you ineffective. Your salvation can be secured because Jesus is not inept. He doesn't lose that which is given to him. Just like when he talked about the disciples, except the one to perdition. But he doesn't lose that which is given to him. He's not a buffoon, if I can use that word. I have license to use that. He's not a buffoon. He is absolutely all-powerful, and he doesn't lose you. But you can be a very ineffective Christian. You can be like that salesman we talked about with the vacuum cleaners. He comes up to the door. He's like, I got this Super Sucker 2000. I don't know how long this cord is. I don't know. And you're not going to buy a thing from that guy. You're like, get out of here. But, of course, if the man comes up full of passion and tells you, it's got a 32-foot cord. It sucks 83 cubic feet of air a second. It does this and that. I mean, you can just like, wow, this dude's on. He's on fire. It's the same thing as a Christian. If you don't know this stuff, how can you effectively witness? I mean, you need to get in this book. That's one of the things you do with that word. Get in it. You guys getting after me over there? So I thought that was interesting. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Of course, the Jews had a hard time now to jump back to them. I'm not trying to pick on them for a second, because we've been grafted into that family. They had a hard time believing in the Messiah, as Jesus as a Messiah, because it didn't fit their definition of Jesus being the Messiah. They had a different thought of who the Messiah was, who he was going to be, what he was going to represent, coming in like a lion and just taking care of business and this and that. And Jesus had a bigger agenda, not just to free those people, that little race, not them, again, ridiculing or belittling. He wanted to free everybody for all time. He had a much bigger agenda. And they couldn't see it, just like the kids again at the outlet. He couldn't see it. So they just didn't believe Christ was the Messiah. Had they been in the Word more properly and applying it, because they knew the Word from the Old Testament, but had they actually been applying it and opening their hearts, and that's another important step, not just knowing this now to lead you into another step, is opening your heart. Ask the Spirit to guide you as you read this. Now, most of the things that Jesus said, the great I Am statements, the pardon that he granted, the forgiveness he offered, it brought him into direct conflict with these Jews. They thought that the Messiah was going to be someone different. So us recognizing Jesus as God, keeping the words of Jesus, can also put us at odds with our culture. Jump back into the culture again. Again, the ruler of the world with the small r, with Christ being involved, or with Satan being involved. Big difference, sorry there. With Satan being involved with the world, small r ruler. Today, it's considered odd for others to care for someone to the extent that it inconveniences you. The world thinks that's odd if you inconvenience yourself to care for someone. It's considered odd to apply the full scripture to every area of your life. A lot of people want to just pick and choose. You can't do that. It's considered odd today to protect the sanctity of life. It's also considered odd to reserve the intimacy of sex to be between one man and one woman in a marriage covenant. But again, this Word of God and His Word is sacred and holy. The Word is Christ the same way that the church is the body of Christ. They are inexplicably, we can't explain it completely, but they are intertwined in one. Christ is this, as we are the body of Christ. Again, not to blow your minds, it's kind of tough to think about. Now, I do like this here. Bad men or devils would not have written the Bible. Bad men or devils would not have written the Bible, for it condemns them in their work, because this shows them to be bad men or devils, so they wouldn't have written it. Good men and angels could not have written it, because then saying it was from God would call them liars, because they wrote it, so they couldn't have written it themselves, because they would be liars. And that would undo everything that was good. So what that leaves is the only remaining being that could have written this is God. It couldn't have been bad men or devils. It couldn't have been good men meaning well. Because again, it all becomes hogwash when you put people into it. This is the holy inspired Word of God. And Jesus only said what his Father had him say. So what are you going to do with this? Let me bring up court in closing. A lot of people don't like to go there. I don't want to ever go there. In the Bible, it says to try to handle everything out of court. But in court, you walk up, you place your hand on a Bible, which is interesting because they're still trying to remove religion from everything. But they realize on some level the sanctity, the truthfulness of it. You will lay your hand on the good book. You will say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. They're still asking God for help, whether they know it or not. The truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Very interesting. These people are subpoenaed. They are called in to testify. Their job, their sole and only job, is to tell the truth. That's the extent of their job. They're not to add to anything, take away from anything, just like us with the book. They're not to add to anything or take away from it. They're to tell the truth, nothing but the truth. So help them, God. The jury interprets what they say, and they try to make decisions based on the truth. And then the judge applies the decision that's made. He's the one that does the sentencing. So he says, you're going to do hard time for X amount of years, or whatever he says. But your job as a witness, when you give testimony, is to do nothing but tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And once it's done, once it's been interpreted, the jury gets to get up, because the judge lays down the law, applies it, everybody gets to leave. Hopefully the person that was on trial doesn't leave in an orange jumpsuit and go to the Gray Bar Hotel. But it does happen. There are ramifications for sin. But the point of this is, we, live in a huge court system called the world. We are subpoenaed by Christ, the Most High Judge. He calls us in for our testimony. We are to live our testimony. Once again, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. This is a big deal. This is 24/7. This isn't just for the little bit of time that you're in there. We're not to judge. We're not to interpret, except for what the Spirit tells you so you understand something. But when you speak the truth, you're not to add to it or take away. Whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help you God. And then the judge himself applies the truth. Christ does. And then again, we never leave this court system until you die. We are stuck in it 24/7. And I don't want to use the word stuck. It sounds incredibly negative, but the other people get to leave. They get to go home. Yep. Yeah, that's the guy over there. He did it. He ran into me with his car twice. You know, they get up, they leave. Okay, the judge says you got to do this and that. We do not get that. We're in it 24/7. I watch you. You watch me. We learn from each other. The world watches all of us. The few minutes that you spend in here make a huge impact out there. This is just a sliver of your week compared to what you do out there, how you talk to people, what you say to people, how you interact. They watch you, and they see you when you don't think they're seeing you. I've been like a, give an example, Walmart. Come walking around a corner and hear bleep, 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 bleep coming out of somebody's mouth, and they turn. It's a good Christian folk standing there. Oh, I didn't know you were there. Well, evidently you didn't. Not that I'm judging. But yeah, you can walk around the corner and hear something really interesting. Bleep, 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 bleep. Ew, how you doing? Well, what I meant to say was, so the truth is you're being watched all the time, whether you realize it or not. Someone standing to the side watching your face, your visage, your reactions, the words that you say. Once again, we are to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. These, and it says you're judged on every word, everything that comes out of your mouth. Even what did zero say to eight? Sorry. I'm just saying, we're judged, and everything has a purpose, just as that did too. We're judged on everything we say. Let your words be life. Read this, study it, know it. Be that salesman, that sales lady. Be a man of honor, a maid of honor. Know this stuff. And I know Brother Dan's up there working with the teens. You're in a very important time of your life. Decisions you make now can affect so many things into the future. And it is a blessing to be able to work with the people. It's a blessing to get up here and talk to you. I am functioning righteously when I'm up here. This is what I'm called to do. I am not functioning righteously if I'm standing in Walmart talking flim-flam, which I don't do, thank God, but I'm just saying. So act righteously, stay within your gifts, read this word and know this word. As I close in prayer, I will have the team come up. We'll get ready for the last song in corporate worship. Let's go ahead and close your eyes, bow your head if you would. Try to keep your distractions down. Let's go ahead and approach the Lord. Dear Heavenly God, sitting mighty on your throne, we thank you for seeing us through the blood of your Son as righteous and holy. Do we deserve this? No. But you sent your Son into the world, came in as a baby, lived his life, did his ministry, listened to you, did not sin, and then left this world with a sacrifice, paying the debt for all our sins. So we thank you for this precious gift and this time we call Christmas, where we celebrate the birth of your only begotten Son. Help us this week as we leave here, that these few minutes in here touched us, that they affected us. Again, your word cuts deeper than anything else, shows us where we're inadequate, but it also bolsters us. We feel your love. It's not that we feel beat around in here, but we feel your love, God. We feel your love, Christ. So please help us as we go about this week to be great shining examples. Help us to get even better acquainted with your word. That you can read a passage, God, that you've laid down here, your holy inspired word, and you can read it 20 times, and it'll always show you something new. It is alive and active and breathing and well. And we thank you for that. So as we close here in worship, let our worship be pleasing to you. As your book says, create again a pleasing aroma to your nostrils. Thank you, Holy Father. Thank you for being who you are, not having us muck it up. You are large and in charge and in control. And we thank you for your only begotten Son. In Jesus' name, amen.
As I rise, strength of God, go before, lift me up. As I wake, eyes of God, look upon by my side, yeah. As I wait, heart of God, satisfy and sustain. As I hear, voice of God, lead me on, be my guide above and below me. Before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me, Christ be all around me, yeah. As I go, hand of God, my defense by my side. As I rest, breath of God, fall upon, bring me peace above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, yeah. Whoa, whoa, Christ be all around me, yeah. Your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, your life, your death, your blood was shed for every moment, your life, your death, your blood was shed. For every moment, your life, your death, your blood was shed. For every moment, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, above and below me, before and behind me, in every eye that sees me. Christ be all around me, yeah. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Christ be all around me, yeah. Whoa. Oh, Christ be all around me. God, from whom all blessings flow, praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. God bless you guys. You are dismissed.